1 Corinthians chapter number 2. We've been talking about the wisdom of God as revealed in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, in addressing the church at Corinth, reminding them of how God saved them, how God gifted them. But he's writing, he well knows, unto a church that has a lot of problems. Threefold we mentioned. They have a problem of division. They have a problem of discipline. And they have a problem with doctrine. And tonight we're going to deal with some of the basis or reasons of why this church is experiencing the problems that it is experiencing. Now understand this, that many people are not aware of the fact that they have a problem until somebody brings it to their attention. And I'm afraid that that is the way that the church at Corinth was. As a matter of fact, as we get on in the book, we're going to find that a messenger came and he told the Apostle Paul what was going on in the church and of the problems that it was experiencing. We talked about that actually in chapter number 1. And so the Apostle Paul is writing and dealing with these issues, and an issue is not dealt with properly until the cause of that issue is dealt with. We sometimes doctor symptoms and not disease. With the painkillers and the things that we have today, we find ourselves dealing with symptoms and not the root problem, which is the disease. Amen. We will take aspirin or Tylenol or something for a headache to deal with some symptoms that may be the result of a more severe problem if it continues. And so you even read on the labels of these things, if this problem persists, see your physician. Amen. And so Paul is going to deal with some of the root problems or the causes of the problems that this church is experiencing in Corinth. And tonight we're going to read verses 14, chapter 2, through chapter 3, verse number 3. And we're going to talk tonight about three classes of people in the Bible, or three types of people that the Bible talks about. Now, you and I, every one of us, matter of fact, every man, woman, boy, and girl, will fit into one of these categories or types of people. We're going to talk, first of all, about what I call the supernatural man or the spiritual man. We're going to talk about the natural man, and we're going to talk about the unnatural man, if you will. Let's begin reading in verse 14. Paul says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual," or spiritual people, "but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" I will remind you that in the original scriptures, there were no chapter and verse divisions. That was added later by translators in order that obviously we might easily find a portion of scripture to share, and that we might have a roadmap or a direction whereby we could memorize portions of scripture to share with others as we do in a service here. And so sometime, we find in the New Testament, and particularly in the book of Romans, and here, what we just read, that the continuity of thought goes beyond the chapter that one might be in into the first parts of the second chapter. And so we see that the message at the end of chapter 2 continues into chapter number 3. And there the Bible talks to us about these three classes are types of human beings. The first one mentioned we find in verse number 14, where the Apostle Paul talks about the natural man. The natural man. Now, when the Bible talks about a natural man or a man's nature, he's referring to that part of a man which has to do with an individual that knows not God, or one, if you will, who is unsaved, unconverted, and unregenerated. He's been born physically, if you will, but he has never been born spiritually or born again. He may be alive physically, but he is dead spiritually. That is what the book of Ephesians talks about in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, where he says there, "And you hath he quickened," old English word, which means to make alive. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And so Paul, talking to the Ephesians, said there was a time when you were alive physically, but as far as God was concerned, you were dead spiritually because you were cut off from God. You had no knowledge of God and you had no relationship with God. Therefore, you might say that the natural man literally is a living dead man. He's dead in trespasses and sins, and he's headed for the second death in eternity if the grace of God and the Spirit of God can't somehow intervene in his life. He operates not in a spiritual realm, but he operates in a natural realm. The book of 2 Peter and the book of Jude talks about individuals who by nature act as brute beasts. You see, a dog has the nature of a dog. An ox has the nature of an ox. And man has a nature that the Bible describes as sinful, as lost, as without God. And he will operate in the realm, if you will, of that nature that he was born with. And so that's why the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We come into this world sinners, and except for the grace of God, we leave this world as sinners. That's the natural course of sin that happened in the lives of men and women from the experience in the Garden of Eden, the fall of Adam. It was not a choice of mine, but my friend, I was born into it. That doesn't exempt me, because not only was I born into it, I liked it and I operated in that way. When I found out there was a different way, amen, that there was a way out, that there was a redemption, praise God, God opened the door of salvation unto us, amen. And so, the natural man, if you will, here the Bible says two things about the natural man. Number one, it says in verse 14 that the natural man does not seek spiritual things. If you look there, he said that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now that word receiveth there is a word that means to welcome something, to embrace something, and to make it your own. In other words, the natural man, rather than welcoming spiritual things and spiritual messages, will rather reject them. I don't want them here. You see people as you go to their houses when they have fenced yards, and they have gates. Sometimes there will be a sign on that gate that says, "No solicitors." What does that mean? They're saying this: I'm not interested in what it is you've got to sell. I'm not interested in what it is you have to say. You're not welcome here. Please go away. Now that's exactly the way that the natural man is when it comes to spiritual things. He's not looking for them, amen. He's not seeking them. He doesn't desire to have anything to do with them, amen, because he's caught up and he's in bondage to that natural state of sin that he was born into. Now, why does not the natural man welcome spiritual things? Well, the Bible tells us here. He says, because they are foolishness unto him. Now, that word foolish there means that they are distasteful unto him, are absurd. Do you know that the preaching of the gospel is absolutely absurd to this world? It is. People do not understand why, and I didn't before I got saved either, why anybody would want to waste their good time going to church to listen to a man get up and preach the Bible to them when they could be out in a boat, or they could be water skiing, or they could be doing so many more productive things in this world. It was absurd to me, and it was even distasteful. Amen. I didn't have. Now, you know what you do whenever something is distasteful to you? Normally, you'll do it. If you don't have any manners, you'll spit it out. Amen. Sometimes you will if it's bad enough when you do have manners. Isn't that right? And so what he does is, when he's presented with spiritual things, and he's presented with the gospel in his natural state, amen, I want you to know that he'll spit it out. He'll reject it. He doesn't want anything to do with it because it is absurd to him, distasteful. Amen. Well, now, this word natural speaks of that which is sensual. That's the arena or the realm in which the natural man operates. It's in the realm of the sensual. There was a saying not long ago that was big in America that simply said this: if it feels good, do it. Now, that's a perfect example of man's lost nature before God. He lives for one thing, and that's to satisfy his sensual appetite. Now, you know that we have five senses. Isn't that right? I probably can't name them all, but he lives to satisfy something by seeing it. Has a lot to do with entertainment. By tasting it. By hearing it. By feeling it. And probably last of all would be smelling it. Amen. That's what he lives for. He lives in the sensual realm. And therefore, he cannot see the spiritual. And he doesn't want to recognize the spiritual. He looks for that which is physical. He looks for that which is material, and he looks for that which is sensual, intriguing unto him, that satisfies some sense that he's got. Is it not amazing that here we live in 1999, about to cross over into another millennium of time, the year 2000, and there are people today that believe in UFOs? It absolutely intrigues them. They believe that there's men flying around out there and hearing flying saucers. They've been here a long time. They've communicated. They've done all of these things. And educated people buy into those. I'm going to tell you why they do that. Because they are sensual, and they're not looking for something that is spiritual, but something that they can identify with that is mystical but yet material. It satisfies the sensual nature that is in man. And so he operates in that realm. It is not, my friend, unusual for the natural man to be an adulterer, to be a murderer, to be a thief, because he does everything to satisfy himself. Natural man does not seek spiritual things. Not only that, the Bible says here the natural man does not see spiritual things. He said, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Listen, the natural man has an inability to comprehend or to discern, if you will, spiritual things. Why? Because he lives in the realm of the physical and the sensual, and his spirit is dead. A lost man, if you will, is like a television set that doesn't have a tuner. It doesn't have a tuner. And therefore, though it has the ability to produce a picture, it does not have the ability to receive a signal. You see, the natural man has a receiver problem. Amen. And so even if something spiritual does come by, he can't even see it. It just goes right by him. Amen. That's just his nature. It's impossible. And so, dear friend, can you understand why it is that a man can read this Bible? If he's not saved, he'll produce all type of false doctrine and error, even though he teaches in a theological institute. I have read, and I don't know that it's true. Brother Cotrera might can verify this or not, that Joseph Stalin, when he was young, was made to memorize practically the whole New Testament. Amen. Adolf Hitler got his concept of a swastika from a stained glass window in a church. What am I saying? I'm saying the natural man, he can't see spiritual things. He can be in the midst of a church. He can be in the midst, my friend, of a worship service. But all he sees in that service is sensual and physical, and he can't see anything spiritual in it. Now, maybe that's why today, in order to fill our churches, we've got to present people with something that is sensual. To satisfy their feelings. I've had people say that to me. Well, it makes me feel good. I'm convinced that sometime maybe be good for some of us to feel bad, dear friend. Feelings has absolutely nothing to do with it. It's a byproduct of our salvation. Amen. The natural man, he cannot see. He cannot comprehend. He cannot understand, my friend, anything that is spiritual because he's simply a natural man. I read an illustration one time back years ago before the telephone. The church wanted to put up a Christmas sign, and the pastor sent the deacon off to the town to have a sign made. He went to town, he forgot what the preacher wanted him to have put on it, so he went to the telegraph office and had him wire the pastor. He simply said this: send motto and size. He waited for the message. When the new telegraph operator came in, he got the message and he opened it up and fainted. The man said, "What's wrong?" He went and found him. When he woke him up, he looked at the message and it said, "Unto us a child is born, 8 feet wide and 4 feet high." So you see, dear friend, he got the message, but he didn't understand it. Do you know that's the way that the natural man is? He can sit, and I mean, he can sit under the best Bible teacher that there is, who can expound the Word of God in eloquence and in beauty and in simpleness of term, and it just go right on by. Why? He just can't see it. He can't see it. That's why, my friend, it's futile to preach to this government crowd. They're not interested in spiritual things. They're interested in natural things. Amen. This word discern means to judge correctly. To judge correctly and carefully. They just don't have that ability in the natural state. They can have a surface knowledge, if you will, of this Bible and never come to know true spiritual knowledge. You've heard me say this many times before, but if you will just examine history itself from beginning at the early 1800s, the late 1700s, you will find that the great casters of doubt upon the Bible were not the intellectual or the secular community. It was some theologian. It was somebody, dear friend, who read the Word of God, who had the inability to believe the Word of God because he'd never been saved. That's the prerequisite, amen. And looking into it, he went about to discern the rationale and the technical styles of the Bible. That's all he can do. Southern Baptist Convention, you've heard me say before, when I went to the school in Graceville, Florida, where I met Miss Ann, the liberals had control of the convention then. They put out a commentary, and it's still out, called the Broadman Commentary. They put out the first volume of that commentary, which was like Genesis and Exodus, maybe Leviticus, I'm not sure. They had to recall that thing. Folks got so upset with it. You know why? Because in that they presented the J and the P and the Y theories and those things that cast doubt on Moses' authorship of the Pentateuch and things like that. Dear friend, I want you to know something. That a spiritual man is not the author of that kind of stuff. It is a natural man who is God in the religion business, amen, and he studied the Word of God on the surface, but he's never ever been able to receive the spiritual message of this book. It is a spiritual book, and therefore, my friend, we're in the mess that we're in. Amen. I believe we'd probably be better off with a bunch of backwood country preachers that couldn't hardly spell R and S if they's God called and could communicate this Word of God if they would believe it. Amen. For the natural man can ever comprehend the Bible, he's got to be saved. I've told you before, the night that I picked up the Bible down at that Daily Herald building as I was a security guard, I saw that Bible on somebody's desk and picked it up, and my lost attitude and the words out of my mouth were this, and I'll remember them through eternity. I wonder if there's anything to this mess. Now, that's the attitude of a natural man. He's not interested in spiritual things, and he cannot see spiritual things. Amen. He will not receive them. But as I began to read that Word of God, then God began to deal with my heart and convict me, not because I understood what I was reading in its entirety and completeness, but what I began to see because of the conviction and the illumination of the Holy Spirit was one thing. I was lost. I was going to meet God one day. I better get ready. Amen. Now that's the work of God. No man can ever understand these things until he's been saved. The natural man is a man that has never been saved, and he cannot receive these things. There's many a person that's been raised in a church that has been in there all of their lives, and they've never given their heart to the Lord. They've never been saved, and because they were the son of so-and-so and such in the church, they were made deacons eventually in the church, and they became the curse of that church. And I've met them. Have no concept whatsoever of spiritual things and no understanding of the Word of God. And I have had chairmen, not just deacons, but chairmen of deacons, knew absolutely nothing about the Bible. Now that's contrary to Scripture right there. Amen. The Bible says you ought to be apt to teach. Know the Word of God. Isn't that right? Because of that, those churches have been under a curse for years. I want to tell you why. Because whenever we look for somebody to give an office or be a part of a church, we're looking for something natural in them. Hey, but we better not. We better look for something spiritual in them. Or we're going to wind up in a mess. Amen. A man that preaches in the flesh, get himself in trouble. And you get other people in trouble with him. A person that sings in the flesh because they think that they have some extraordinary ability that they were born with, better be careful. Amen. They better sing in the Spirit. I want to tell you what the Bible says. Paul, writing Timothy, said, I will that men everywhere lift up holy hands, singing unto yourselves in psalms, hymns, and listen, spiritual songs. You read it. There's a difference between a natural song and a spiritual song. Amen. A lot of songs may be pretty to listen to, but are they spiritual? Dear friend, we're in the spirit business, and the natural man doesn't know anything about that. But next he talks about the second class of people that we find. And remember, probably all of these were in Corinth and in many of our churches today. And that is what I call the supernatural man. What the Bible here calls the spiritual man. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. A spiritual man, or a supernatural man as I call him, is a man that has not only been born physically, but he has been born spiritually. He's a person in whom the Spirit of God resides and abides, because he has been saved by the grace of God. And as the Bible teaches, at that point in time, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in his body. It then becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. It has an anointing and an unction because the Spirit of God abides and dwells in his body. And because of that, he has different abilities and awareness than the natural man. First of all, we see here that the Bible says that the spiritual man is a discerning man. It says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. That word judgeth there means that he is able to sift through the evidence that is presented unto him and come to the right conclusion. That's a spiritual man. Now you take a spiritual man and a natural man, you put them side by side, and you preach unto them or teach them the same lesson from the Word of God, and they will come to different conclusions. Why, here not long ago, and it's still ongoing, there was a thing that was known as the Jesus Seminar out in Arizona, I believe it was, where all of these theologians gathered together in their wisdom that they might take the Scriptures and discern what Jesus really said and what He did not say. Where did they get their authority? Well, their authority come from hell. I can tell you where that come from. It sure didn't come from God. To question the Word of God and to go about, my friend, trying to judge the things of God, they don't have the ability to weigh the evidence when it's presented unto them and come to the right conclusion. Why? It's a spiritual book and not a natural man-made book. You see, the natural man looks at the Word of God and he sees Matthew and he sees Mark and he sees Luke and he sees John and Isaiah and all the men of the Bible, but he never ever sees the finger of God and the Spirit of God working through their lives. Just can't understand that. He'd rather believe in a flying saucer than to believe in something like that. Amen. The spiritual man is a man that is a discerning man. The world doesn't understand our convictions. The world doesn't understand our conclusions. And they cannot agree with us on these things. Why do you think there's such a fuss today in our government arena and in our schools? The school can't understand the conviction that we have about prayer, about the Ten Commandments, about teaching our children to know God. But we come to the wrong conclusions. I've said it a long time. If we want to fix the school system, let's go back to when it worked right and start doing what we did back then. And you know what? I heard a man say that on a political show the other night on TV. Finally, somebody said that. Not that I'm intelligent, it just seemed to make common sense to me. And some woman lawyer on there, full of the devil. Oh, we can't do that. We can't go back to Ozzy and Harriet and all of this. Well, then just let the world and the nation go to hell. That's the only logical conclusion I can come to. Because I'll tell you one thing, all the money and all that we've thrown at society has not worked in respect to our children, has it? Why? Because we're trying to mix spiritual things amongst natural people. They will never come to the right conclusion because they do not have that ability of discernment. They look at the immediate that is in the future, whereas we look at things from an eternal standpoint. Yes, this might be good for today, but my friend, what will it mean tomorrow? I've said to people before in certain circumstances and situations, dear friend, that might do to live by today, but it will not do to die by tomorrow. You better look at things through an eternal perspective, and the natural man doesn't have that ability because he doesn't believe in eternity. He believes he's a dog, and when he's dead, he's dead. That's it, amen. Why? Because he's been convinced that he came from a monkey to start with. You know how foolish that would sound to them if they were here tonight? Me saying that, how uneducated I would appear to them, and they wouldn't be able to receive a bit of it. I ain't going back listening to that ignorant man. That's the difference between the spiritual man and the natural man. The man who is a spiritual man is a supernatural man because of the Spirit of God abiding in him. All we have to do to realize that is go to the Old Testament and look at the man Samson. People say, oh, Samson's strength was in his hair, and when his hair was cut, he lost his strength. No, dear friend, Samson's strength was not in his hair. It was in the Spirit of God that abode on him. And when he cut his hair, or he allowed it to be cut by Delilah, even though he was asleep when it happened, dear friend, he broke the third and final part of the Nazarite vow that was upon him. And that's when the Spirit of God departed from him, the Bible says, and he didn't know it. He'd gotten so tied up with Delilah and the harlots of this world, he wasn't even aware that the Spirit of God had left him. And so when Delilah shouted, the Philistines are upon you, Samson, he went out and shook himself as before, and he didn't have any power. Huh?
Amen.
Listen, dear friend, supernatural man is supernatural not because of anything that is him, but because of the God that now dwells within him. Therefore, he is a supernatural man. And he sees things from a different perspective. So the supernatural man, or the spiritual man, if you will, is a man that is a discerning man, but he's also a man that is a different man. Look, if you will, in the latter part of verse 15, where it says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Dear friend, the world cannot understand or comprehend this spiritual man. He is different, and he lives differently. And so the world just does not understand that. Not in the least. Not in the least. I watched Good Morning America here when it was on the Gulf Coast a month or two ago. And at the firehouse. And they were showing things that were happening on the coast and all this. And they showed some people that were a part of this show called Alegria or something. Some type of show. I think it was out of Canada. The Cirque du Soleil. It's been around a long time. And I made the comment, that looks interesting to me. I said, I might even consider going to see that if it wasn't down there at the casino, the Beau Rivage. And of course, he didn't understand that. Well, they do good things. They do good things. Talking of the casinos. You see, the natural man does not have the ability to discern spiritual things. And to him, that made absolutely no sense. That I would not go see a show simply because of the fact that it was at a casino or sponsored by a casino. You see, dear friend, spiritual man, he lives differently. And the world don't understand that. And so he's categorized as a religious nut or some other type of thing like that. And I call people that, as I've told you, that whenever somebody would get saved, I would say they got struck by lightning. Something like that, some wisecrack. In my ignorance and my natural state, I did not understand the fact that when God takes up residence in a man, he becomes a spiritual creature and he becomes a different creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, "Behold, if any man be in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Amen. That's the Bible. I believe that. I believe, dear friend, somebody gets saved. They're not going to keep walking the same path they was walking. If they did, I'm sorry, and I'm not trying to judge them, but I don't believe they got saved. What he said here is this man is not judged of anybody. They don't understand it. He says, what is it that does that? Who's known the mind of the Lord? Well, nobody knows the mind of the Lord except it's revealed in the Word of God. But he said, we who have been saved, the mind of Christ. Why? Because he dwells in us. And so the spiritual man is a man that thinks like God and not like the world. And when he does that, it makes him a different man. Spiritual man is a discerning man. Spiritual man is a different man. But let's go on. And this is where Paul really was heading to start with when he began this dissertation. He deals in the first three verses of chapter number 3 with the man that I call the unnatural man, that the Bible calls the carnal man. And we see that in the first three verses of chapter 3 as we've read them. Now the carnal man, or the unnatural man to me, is a saved man. He has been born again, but his spiritual life, for some reason, is abnormal. Abnormal. Now, we have people who suffer from mental disease. Things physical in their brain or their genetic makeup that we would say were abnormal. They're a little outside the realm of what we consider to be normal or common, if you will. Well, this individual has been saved, but because of something not being right in his life, he is abnormal, perhaps not as far as the world is concerned, But as far as God's concerned, and therefore he is called carnal. He's been saved, but there's been no spiritual growth in his life. Now, dear friend, Donovan weighed 9 pounds, 10.5 ounces, I believe, when he was born. If he never grew after having been born, then he would be diagnosed as being abnormal. There are people who have a problem with the pituitary gland that will cause them to grow to be giants. They have an abnormal problem, amen. Well, just as it is not natural for a baby to remain a baby of just a few pounds, so it is not normal for an individual who has been saved to remain a baby spiritually. But that is exactly the type of people who occupied the church at Corinth that the Apostle Paul described as carnal, I say, were unnatural. Now let's think for a moment of the meaning of this word carnal, or the meaning of carnality. Well, the Bible describes this one who is carnal as one that is a babe or a baby. He's not a new convert who just got saved that we could correctly describe as a babe, but he's someone who has been saved for a period of time and he's still a babe in Christ. Do you know that you can be 50 years old and still be a babe in Christ? Amen. You could have been saved 20 years and still be a babe in Christ. Now, I want to tell you that according to the Word of God and what we've read right here, that's not normal. Because just as an individual should grow progressively in a physical way from the time of their birth, so an individual should grow progressively spiritually after they've been saved by the grace of God. But the people at Corinth had ceased to do so, and that not by my words, but by the words of the Apostle Paul in verse 3, where he said, "And ye are still carnal." And he describes them as babies. Then he talks about the marks of carnality. What are they? Here they are. A person that has been saved, but he doesn't eat right. A person that has been saved, but because he doesn't eat right, he doesn't act right. He said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat." Why? "For hitherto," or up to now, "you just couldn't handle it. You just were not able." Now, dear friend, understand me. You don't feed a baby steak and potatoes. He not only doesn't have the teeth to chew it up, or the muscles to swallow something solid like that, but he doesn't have a system yet that can even digest such as that. And you'll wind up with a dead child on your hands if you're not careful. They're not able to digest it. And so babies have to be fed with what? Milk. Some babies have a problem digesting formula or cow's milk, and they put on goat's milk because it's easier to digest. Well, dear friend, it's fine to put a nipple in a baby's mouth because that's natural for his stage of life and growth. But dear friend, it's not natural for a 12-year-old to walk around with a baby bottle and a nipple in his mouth, is it? Amen. That's right. I never will forget. I first to feed Donovan when he was born. Ann was over there moaning and groaning with just cause. And they brought the baby in there, and I took that little fella, and I had that little old bottle. It weren't that big. It wasn't big. About one slug for me. And I just got it near his mouth. I didn't put it in. You know, I just got it near. I ain't fed that many babies. And son, he reached out and grabbed it. You know why? That's natural. And I was talking to some, I don't know if it's Donovan, who in the car, I said, "You know, isn't it something?" We were talking about him, as a matter of fact. How a baby's in the womb for 9 months, it's fed through an umbilical cord. It's not a sucking on anything in the feeding. But when it comes out of that womb, you just put a nipple near its mouth and watch it. You see, it's natural because God created them that way. Amen? Well, it's just as natural for a person that has been born again, saved, to desire to be fed with the milk of the Word of God. It's a natural progression, amen. If you want to, look in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 2. We've read this in Sunday school. But in verse number 1 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, he said this: "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings," it already sounds like Corinth, he said, "as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." You hear what he said? He said, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may what? Grow thereby. But dear friend, if a baby is sucking on a bottle and he's being fed milk and he's not growing, there's something wrong with that baby. Isn't that right? Well, so it is with a spiritual person. In Hebrews chapter 5, the apostle writing to the Hebrew Christians who were thinking of going back away from God under the Levitical system, he begins to describe a part of their problem of being dull of hearing. In Hebrews 5, in verse number 12, he said this about them: "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Now what's he saying there? He's saying that those Hebrew Christians, like the Corinthian Christians, had been saved, but they had never grown in the Lord. That they were not able to handle the strong teachings of the Word of God and the deep things of God because they were still living on a shallow surface diet of milk alone. And they had never progressed, and they were living in a stunted state of growth. And so, when a person's diet is fouled up, when one does not eat right spiritually, then you cannot expect them to act right spiritually. Amen. You take a baby, it's just as natural for that baby to cry and to carry on and to squall as anything, isn't it? It's natural, and you expect that out of a baby. But dear friend, whenever that baby grows up and gets the size of a 14-year-old, you don't expect that big young man to act like a baby anymore. Why? He has grown. Should have. So it is with a spiritual person, amen. You can see young Christians making mistakes and being misled about certain things and having the need of being taught. But you would expect that someone that's been saved for 20 to 25 years, that they should, my friend, be feeding on meat now and be grown thereby and be a spiritual man like God would have them to be. But here they are, the church at Corinth. They're still carnal. Paul, having established this church and all these folks been saved, called, and gifted, Paul says, "I can't even talk to you about the spiritual elements and the things of God you need to know about because you're still babies." And for 11 chapters, he talks about these carnal problems that they're experiencing in that church. And finally, in chapter number 12, in verse 1, he says, "And now, brethren, concerning spiritual things." 11 chapters dedicated to talking about the carnality in the church. Then chapters 12 through 15, three chapters. Well, four, 12, 13, 14, 15, dealing with spiritual things. Actually, just 12, 13, 14 when it comes down to it. For 15 has to do with the doctrinal problem that they had. Listen, dear friend, the bottom line is this. When it comes to the carnal man or the unnatural man, if you don't eat right, you won't grow right. Amen. It just will not happen. And so we can understand today why an individual who only comes to church once in a while, who never reads his Bible, could be saved, but never ever grow or progress to the spiritual man that he ought to be and what God wants him to be, can't we? However, understanding that still does not give us a place to excuse that. And so that's why I believe that God, through the Apostle Paul, outlined the qualifications of pastors and deacons and people who were to be in the place of leadership in the church. And even so, when he talked about bishops, he said, not a novice. Not somebody who was newly born again and newly saved. Lest they be caught up, dear friend, in the sin of the devil, which was what? Pride. Oh, listen. Man had just got saved. He ain't got his feet under him enough. And he hadn't got the muscle built up yet. He hasn't got the strength yet to deal with the issues of the Bible and the spiritual attacks that come upon the church and God's people. I call this carnal man the unnatural man. Or woman. Because it ain't natural for them to be as old as they are, to still be a baby. To still be a baby. It ain't natural. Man stood right outside that door one time and told me that I preached over people's head and I needed to preach hellfire and brimstone. And I said, dear friend, most people in this church have been saved over 15 years and I still need to feed them that milk. How can you say they need to hear that? That just don't make good sense. And if that is true, which it may have been of some, what a shame. What a shame. And it weren't my fault. It was theirs. You can put a young'un down at the table and put everything in the world before him, but if he refuses to eat, then he's going to be abnormal in his growth. Isn't that right? Amen. And so here's the problem. That baby comes into the world, and you know what that baby eats? Milk. Then he progresses to baby food, which is strained, mashed, nothing just about. No flavor, no, if you've ever tasted that stuff. But you know what? Just get it near that mouth. Strained carrots. Strained beans. Strained bananas. And that young will eat it up. That child grows and you put some vegetables before him, it'll grab him and eat him up. But the day that you ever put a hamburger or a pizza before that child is the day that it's normally going to forsake that good diet. Isn't that true? It is true. Why? Because to them it tastes good. Amen? So the carnal man does not want a diet that is nutritious, but he wants a diet that tastes good. And preacher, if your church does not serve the flavor that I like, I'll go find one that will serve the flavor that I like. And dear friend, no one in that state will ever grow or progress with the Lord. They'll remain a baby all of their lives because they're not interested in the spiritual things. They're interested in carnal things. Amen. God help us. God help us. Now every one of us, dear friend, falls into one of these categories. We are either a natural man, an unsaved man, and we operate in the realm of the sensual and the physical and the material. Are we the supernatural man, the spiritual man that's been saved and indwelt by the Spirit of God and thus comprehends the Word of God and the convicting power of the Spirit of God in our lives? Are we our carnal person that has been saved by the grace of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, but rather than living a supernatural life as an overcomer, we live an unnatural life of carnality. Amen? What a tragedy. But that was the state of Corinth. We get back to the man Samson. He was an unnatural man. He was an unnatural man in that he had a physical strength that was above all those that were about him, that caused him to become very famous. But he was an unnatural man in that being occupied or having the Spirit of God upon him and the knowledge of God that he had received from his mother and his father, Manoah, he lived a carnal life. He fell in love with a Philistine woman. Going to make her his wife. Went to a great feast, drinking there. Lost her through a riddle. You know the story.
was not to touch anything dead, but yet he reached in the dead carcass of a lion and brought out honey, which was the source of his riddle. And played with harlots until a woman named Delilah finally took the very last vestige of his Nazarite vow from him. Samson was a man who knew God, dear friend, but he lived an unnatural life. So he died without any eyes in the temple of Dagon of the Philistines. Now, would you not call that an unnatural life, in that that was not the will of God? For the Bible says that God raised up Samson for a purpose, because he had an issue with the Philistines. That's what the Bible says. And at the close of his life, the Bible says, and so Samson slew more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. That wasn't God's will, that he had to die to slew those many Philistines. It was God's will that he do that in his life, by remaining the Nazarite that God called him to be, by enabling the Spirit of God to remain upon him, and to accomplish the will of God as a judge of Israel. He was an unnatural man. He was a saved man. But because of the carnality in his life, it caused early defeat and destruction in his life. Dear friend, the same thing happens to us if we are carnal people. To be carnal-minded, the Bible says, is enmity with God. We're spiritual people, folks. We need a spiritual diet that we should spiritually grow, so we can build numbers with entertainment, games, and gimmicks and gadgets. But you cannot build Christians off of that. You just can't do it. Our Father, thank you for the Word.